Hi, I'm Richard Lawrence, member of the Global Fixed Income team here at Brandywine Global.
And I'm Brian Giuliano, part of the Global Fixed Income team at Well.
We want to talk a little bit about what's been going on in the exciting world of central banking. I say that partially tongue-in-cheek, but actually it's been a pretty interesting last few months in the world of global central banks. Brian, what's been the big surprise for you?
To me, the biggest surprise this year has been the US dollar. All of a sudden, DXY is the dollar index is trading in the low 90s. You know, if you think back to where we ended 2016, think of what happened in the US, the election of Trump, a lot of optimism around US growth and inflation. It said interest rates higher, the dollar went higher as well. But really, by the time we got to the end of 2016, the dollar had really been on a 6-7 year massive bull run. It appreciated against every single currency in our universe. And as we looked at that dollar trade, we thought that the pillars of support for the currency were really starting to erode. So right now, with that dollar index trading in the low 90s, that isn't as much of a surprise to us, but I think it's caught the market off guard.
How do you think the Fed specifically has factored into that?
When you think about what influences currency valuation, currency moves, or there are a number of factors that go into it. I'd say two factors in general tend to have an overriding influence to it. One would be relative growth differentials, and the second would be relative interest rate differentials. And if you look at the Fed over the past few years, right, we were the first, if you go back to 2008, 2009, the Fed was the first to really aggressively ease, as well as the Bank of England. So we were the first ones to aggressively ease. So it makes sense that over the past 12, 18 months, we were the first central bank to really start to talk about normalization. Well, fast forward to today, and as you look at growth and inflation here in the US, it looks like the Fed really doesn't have to tighten perhaps as much as people expected merely 6, 12 months ago. And as I look around the world, whether it's the ECB in Europe, the Bank of Canada, even the central bank in China, you either have interest rates that are already heading higher or central bankers that are directionally talking about tightening. So all of a sudden, that interest rate spread between the US and those foreign markets is starting to compress. That's leading capital outflow from the US economy outside to the rest of the world.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, clearly we've seen a little bit of a shift in tone over the last 2 or 3 months coming from the global central banks, the major central banks, you know. And of course, central bank policy, you know, it starts with rhetoric and then it ultimately ends in policy action. For the most part, it feels to us a little bit like we're still in the rhetoric phase of this evolution of a sort of gradual shift away from that era of financial repression. But certainly, we've recently seen an interest rate increase from the Bank of Canada, for example. So, you know, they've been one of the first major central banks to do a rate increase. It's the first, I believe, in 7 years for the Bank of Canada. We've seen a more slightly hawkish Draghi this week, talking about the fact that, you know, yes, it's still going to be an environment of policy accommodation, but there are enough hints in the rhetoric this week that it would suggest that we could be moving to some form of tapering of the ECB's QE program, perhaps at the end of this year or early next year. And that's certainly been reflected in a fairly decent rally in the euro. So we've seen the euro move quite sharply over the last couple of weeks in response to an improving growth environment in Europe.
Richard, so what is it in the macro environment that these central bankers are seeing that suddenly we're, at least directionally, we're talking about tightening policy as opposed to years of, you know, successive waves of easing, more and more monetary stimulus? What's changed?
Well, certainly what's changed is we're finally getting some growth. And not only are we getting better growth around the world, but it's coming in the most synchronized manner that we've seen for about 8 years. And I think it's that improving environment where we're seeing better growth, but it's also growth that's coming with not a lot of inflation right now. And I think that helps explain why, you know, there's been a little bit of a shift in tone in the central banks, but not yet the need for a lot of policy action. But I think the shift in tone is trying to ready the market in the event that they do need to shift away from, you know, sort of pure change in tone towards a more sort of policy-oriented management of their economy. But the reality is it's all about growth and it's all about inflation.
What about a potential policy make, especially as I look at just the U.S. economy, very low level of growth, inflation has come in from where it was earlier this year, commodity prices have stabilized. The Fed's talking about not just further interest rate increases, but they're also talking about a reduction in the monetary base. So what happens as they go to, say, quantitatively tighten? What's the potential for a policy error in that?
So we do think that represents sort of a new information risk in our analysis. I don't think anybody really understands how the market's going to react when the Fed begins these balance sheet reductions. The Fed would love this to sort of happen very quietly in the background, under the radar. You know, one Fed governor likened this to watching paint dry. I think our experience of watching the market react to successive waves of QE over the past several years would suggest that the Fed could still potentially be in for some kind of unpleasant surprise as quantitative tightening starts. And that's something we'll be watching for as the Fed moves into their first balance sheet reductions, which are likely to happen in the fall. So that's a quick update on what we're thinking about some of the world's major central banks. Thanks for listening in. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to contact us.